Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is B'chorro Yistav Chof. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences 5 lines from the top of Daf Chof. You will notice double underlinings that appear. These are in effect a continuation of the use of this marking from the previous omid, the omid in which the perek began, where you can see the animals referred to are highlighted by this marking. So in this Tanaic source, which you can see is in a frame, we have chosen to continue highlighting the animals featured. The topic heading that accompanies this sugi is found in the outside margin, the nosei, in our Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system. We offer title headings, nosei, and mivneh, structural notes, from time to time when needed. Here under our nosei topic heading, we have written Deos Tanoim. We're going to be exposed to different Tanaic opinions, Begilaim v'simonim shebehemo kvar yolda, showing ages and signs, physical signs or physical phenomena, which indicate that a behemo has already given birth. And if that be the case, then we know that that which comes afterwards is not going to be its firstborn, won't be its bechor. So our Tanaic source begins, Tonu Rabbanan. Eiz bas shnoso vadai lokohen. If a goat is within a year of age and it gives birth, that is definitely its firstborn and it's therefore given to a kohen. Mikan v'eilach safek. If you got a goat, let us say you bought a goat from a Gentile beyond a year in age, so you don't know for sure if this is its first birth. It may have already experienced a first birth prior to your acquiring it, and therefore this would be a matter of doubt. And this same theme continues with the next few animals, but with different ages. Rochel, a sheep, bas shtayim, a birth within the first 2 years of age of the sheep, vadai lekohen. It is a definite bechor. You don't have to take into consideration that maybe it bore a child before that. However, mikan v'eilech, beyond 2 years, it is a suffix. Pora, bas shalosh, vadai lekohen. A cow that you acquire within its first 3 years of age, the first birth that you experience, that will be the animal's first birth. Mikan v'eilech safek. Chamoira, a donkey, ke pora, has the same 3 year age standard as applied to the cow. Rabbi Yossi Rabuda Omer, chamoira bas arba shonim. Rabbi Yossi Rabuda disagrees with regard to the chamor age and says it has a 4 year standard. Ad kan divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. This up till now has been Rabbi Yishmoel's presentation. Kishenemru dvorim lifnei Rabbi Yeshua, when the aforementioned was said to Rabbi Yeshua, Omar lehen. Rabbi Yeshua responded and said, Se'u imru loy li Yishmoel. Inform Rabbi Yishmoel to Isa, you are in error. Ilu bivlad bilvad habehemo nifteres, if the only factor determining birth, and when we say birth, it's a broad expression which indicates that that which follows a subsequent birth will not be considered its firstborn. So if birth were determined by the emergence of an actual animal, then hoyo kidvorecha, then what you said would be reliable. However, avolomru, you'll notice we, based on the girsa, we put in the expression avolomru and underline this. This is going to be one of two stages or presentations that Rabbi Yehoshua will be making. This is called the tradition that Rabbi Yehoshua has. Two lines later, we'll have Rabbi Yehoshua's own opinion. So Rabbi Yehoshua here quotes that which he heard. Aval Omru, Simen Havlad Bivehem Odaka, the sign of birth in the case of a light cattle, in other words, sheep and goats, Tinuf. Tinuf is a type of excretion that is associated with birth, and hence a regular birth that follows Tinuf will not be considered a Bechor. The Tinuf is considered the first birth, even though it's not an actual offspring, it's some type of excretion. Nevertheless, that is sufficient to render the following birth a non-Bechor. Ubegasa shilio, a large animal like a cow, the determining factor of birth in addition to an actual child could be the emergence of a placenta. Ubeisha, when it comes to a human being, a woman, shvir vishilia. Shvir is a formation, a fetal formation made of skin, shilia, a placenta. Vani eini omer kain. Rabbi Yeshua himself says, I don't say like that. Elo, Eiz shetinfa bas shisha, yoyledes besoch shnosa. If a goat experiences tinuf at 6 months of age, it will give birth within a year. We must point out that the gestation period of a goat is 5 months. Just for the record, we'll say. We'll come back to this point later. Rochel shetinfo bas shnosa, yoledes besoch shtayim. The exact application of this point, we'll say, of Rabbi Yeshua, in contrast with that which Rabbi Yeshua said in the first stage of his presentation, the Aval Omru stage, will be the subject of a sugya in the Gemara itself. So we continue in the meantime, realizing that as far as honing in on the differences between these different Tanaic opinions will be the subject of the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Ani lo bosi lide midazu, I don't use this standard. If you know the animal gave birth already, then a subsequent birth is not going to go to the Kohen. The Chol Shelo Bichra, any case where you know the animal has not given birth beforehand, then Harezu the Kohen. Then that which is born will be given to the Kohen as a Bechor. Suffolk, if you're in a state of doubt, Ye Ochel Bemumo Lebailim. Then the animal that's born, and as we say, you're in doubt whether it's an actual firstborn, so you will leave it till it develops a blemish, and the owner will keep it for himself and eat it, and slaughter and eat it. At this point, we now encounter a diamond. This diamond is actually a part of a series, as are all geometric forms in the Gemara marking system, and in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we feature the diamond, and feature the expressions b'mai komiflegi and mai iko bain. These are expressions that you'll see in diamonds. Birurim ledas, these are clarifications or investigations to know what is ledas hanafkamina bain deos hanal, to know what are the point of differences between the different opinions expressed in the Tanaic source. The Tanaic source itself, as we learned it, doesn't spell out the point of difference between the different authorities. What it did show were different physical signs or phenomena that indicate birth. So now the Gemara. B'mai komiflegi Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Yehoshua. What is the point of difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yehoshua in the first presentation that we call the Aval Omru presentation? Lemo, let us say, betinuf poter komiflegi. Before we go further in the Gemara, there will be several stages of analysis of concerning this issue of what is the point of difference, and we've indicated these different stages at the side of the Gemara text itself. You can see numbers 1, 2, and 3 encircled as you continue down the Omid. So this is a suggestion, but as you know from Gemara learning experience, when you see the expression lema, it is almost always rejected. But we're nevertheless calling this the first stage. So lema betinuf poter komiflegi. Can we suggest that the point of difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua is the ability of this excretion we call tinuf to constitute a birth in and of itself, namely the subsequent birth of a regular offspring will not be considered a behor. That's the concept of poter, means exempting a subsequent birth from being dealt with as a behor. And how would the shitas line up? How would these opinions line up? Rabbi Shmuel Savar, tinuf eino poter. Rabbi Yeshua would be of the opinion, according to this suggestion, that tinuf itself does not exempt. Rabbi Yeshua Savar tinuf poter. And Rabbi Yeshua, who had emphasized in his presentation the issue of tinuf, seemingly holding that tinuf is a means of exempting a subsequent birth from being considered a behor. The Gemara responds and says as follows: I de chazinon de tinuf, or de tonif, if one saw the actual excretion taking place, then de kule alma, everyone would agree, kule alma lo pligi de tinuf poter. Then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that tinuf is an exempting phenomenon. V'hacha b'choshishin le tinuf komiflegi. The point of difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua is the suspicion, the taking into account the possibility maybe tinuf took place. Rabbi Shmuel Savar ein choshishin letinuf. If you have an animal that you, let us say, bought it within a year of age, and you see it giving birth within that year, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, that is a definite behor. And I won't take into consideration that maybe earlier during the year it experienced tinuf, thereby rendering this birth a non-behor. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Choshishin Latinuf. Rabbi Yeshua would tell you that even if an animal gives birth within its first year of age, I'm not convinced that this is a behor. Maybe it experienced tinuf. So the way we set up things right now is Rabbi Yeshua is not suspecting. The Gemara now asks, "Velo chayish?" Is it so that Rabbi Yishmael does not take into consideration possibilities, as alternative possibilities? The Omar Rova, we have learned earlier, Machvarta Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Meir, Svirole, the chayish lemiut. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with an arrow that appeared at the top line. This will tie in this point to that which we learned earlier in our previous shiur, that Rabbi Shmuel holds by the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who is famous for taking into consideration minority possibilities. Now, this is essentially a point that was raised at the tail end of our previous shiur when we were analyzing the shita of Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, that pointed out a goat that you buy from a Gentile after its first year of age. Rabbi Shmuel said, "Mikan ve'elech sofek," he said in the Mishnah, that any birth that happens after its first year, you have to suspect that maybe this is the animal's firstborn. And even though the majority of animals already conceive and give birth within their first year, and we're talking, of course, about goats, nevertheless, we saw Rabbi Yoshmuel in the Mishnah taking into consideration a minority of animals that don't conceive and give birth within their first year. So Rabbi Shmuel, as Rava taught, was Choshesh LeMiut, like Rabbi Meir. So why not over here have Rabbi Shmuel take the opinion that Choshishin LeTinuf? The Gemara answers, Ki Chayish LeChumra. We say that Rabbi Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Meir and take into consideration a minority of phenomena when the result of this suspicion is a stringency. Now, this is what we saw in the case of Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah. Because of our suspecting that maybe it hasn't yet given birth, we are saying that the first birth that takes place in the domain of the Yisrael is a Sofek Bechora, which means we will have to treat it with stringencies. However, Lekula Lo Chayish, in our case, when you have an animal giving birth within its first year of life, and there's an issue of maybe I should suspect that this is not its first birth because maybe Tinuf took place earlier, that would result in a leniency. By being Choshesh for Tinuf, I'm basically saying that the birth that takes place after the Tinuf is not a Bechor. So to go in the direction of leniency, this is something that Rabbi Shmuel would not do. Continuing in the Gemara, V'iboy Yaseimo, Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra Chayish, as according to this approach, when we discuss Rabbi Shmuel, he will take into consideration the mute, whether it results in leniency or in stringency. V'hocha, and here there's a different issue. B'metanefes V'choizeres V'yoledes V'soich Shnoso Komifligi. Would an animal experience tinuf and a subsequent conception and birth of an offspring within 1 year? The Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Metanefes Eino Choizeres Violetis Besoch Shnosa. That would not happen. It wouldn't have experienced actual tinuf and then a conception with birth of real, of a full-blown offspring within 1 year. V'ha mida'oilid, and this case of an animal that does give birth within its first year, this is a sign, vadai lo tonif. It definitely did not experience tinuf, and therefore this birth taking place within the first year is a sure bechor. It's a bechor vadai. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Mitanefes Choizeres Violetes Besoich Shnosa. An animal that experienced actual tinuf could, in fact, experience conception and birth of a real offspring all within 1 year. Therefore, the birth of an offspring within its first year of life, Rabbi Yeshua will tell you, is not a definite bechor. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a frame around two lines. This, in effect, is a quote from above. In many Gemaras, it would appear with the introductory expressions Omar Mar, indicating a quote from that which we learned earlier. So here we go. Va'ani eini Omer Kein. You can see this is the Svora of Rabbi Yeshua that was featured in the source itself. In order to make it easier to find this, we've provided to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a little star, and you can align this with the star that you see earlier on the Amud and see where this quote is coming from. So it says, "Vani eini Omer Kein." Rabbi Yeshua says, "I personally don't say like the tradition that I had." Elo eiz shetinfa bas shisha yoledes toich shnosa. A goat that experiences this excretion at 6 months of age can conceive and give birth within a year. And you can see right away how this is different than the way we just finished presenting Rabbi Yeshua according to his first presentation. The line just above this source we had read, Rabbi Yeshua Sover Mitanefes Choseres Violetes Besoch Shnosa. Let us correct ourselves. This approach of Rabbi Yeshua is at odds, we'll say, with Rabbi Yishmael's approach. Rabbi Yishmael had said that if tinuf takes place within its first year, it won't conceive and give birth all within 1 year. Here, Rabbi Yoshua's svara is saying that if you have an aiz that's 6 months of age, it's yoledes toch shnasa, and in fact, in correcting our previous mistake, this Svar of Rabbi Yeshua sounds very much like the tradition that Rabbi Yeshua himself presented. That will give rise to the Gemara's question of what's the difference between these two approaches. And just to finish off the quote, Rochel Shetinfo Bas Shnosa, Yoledes Besoch Shtayim. And now the Gemara asks, My Iko Bain Gamrei Lisvore. What is the difference between Gamre, his tradition, which was introduced by the words Aval Omru, and Svore, his own idea, which was introduced by the expression Ani Eini Omer Kain? After we pointed out just a moment ago that as far as Tinuf and subsequent birth taking place within the first year, they seem to be saying the same thing. So the Gemara will answer the question of my iko bain gamrei lisvorei kegoin shetinfo besof shisha. The scenario is that tinuf took place at the conclusion of 6 months of age. In other words, the animal was a full, the goat we're talking about, was a full 6 months of age, and then it experienced tinuf. The Iko Binayu Diziri. You'll notice we have a little aleph in the text. This is in order to forewarn, if you will, that there's another approach coming up at the bottom line where the Ebois Ema appears, and there you'll notice a base. Before going further in the Gemara, we should read our Tatnose, a subtopic heading that we've provided in the outside margin, because we're now going to be introduced to Ziri's Halacha. And we've written on the side, Dino Shel Ziri, Ein Tinuf Pochos Mishloishim Yom. This is what Ziri says, Tinuf is not less than 30 days. Now what that means is, Kloimar, Im Behemo Metanefes Tinuf Amiti. If there is a real Tinuf, and not just some type of minor excretion, but a Tinuf excretion, which we said is somehow associated with some type of some form of birth, even though it's a mere excretion. Nevertheless, if it experienced a true tinuf, eino mekabeles zohar toich shloshim yom, it will not mate with a male within 30 days. So, in order to experience or see the difference between the two versions of Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara sets up a case. The case is that tinuf took place at the completion of 6 months of age of the animal. In order to facilitate appreciating this Gemara, we've provided a little chart or timeline that you will notice on the inside margin of our Shas Ozer. Hence, on the chart, we have indicated with numbers the respective months, and you can see at the end of 6 complete months, we have a little arrow indicating Tinuf then takes place. Let us continue in the Gemara. We said the point of difference will be Ziri, the Omar Ziri, Ein Tinuf Pochos Mishloshim Yom. And we're continuing in the Gemara, second line from the bottom, where we just finished stating Ziri's point that Tinuf is something that is not less than 30 days, which means that after a real Tinuf, it will not mate with a male, a counterpart, until 30 days passes. Ligamre, according to the first approach of Rabbi Yeshua, the tradition approach, is le Ziri. He accepts Ziri's rule. Therefore, and here it's very important to spell out the case, if you see an animal giving birth within a year, then we know that the tinuf that it experienced wasn't a real tinuf. It wasn't a tinuf that's capable of creating exemption. And that's because the Gamre subscribes to Ziri. And as a result of holding by Ziri, if tinuf took place, if what supposedly was tinuf took place at the conclusion of 6 months, and yet a birth took place within a year, and we said the gestation period is 5 months, it must be that the tinuf was not a real tinuf. L'svore, according to the svore approach of Rabbi Yeshua, his personal approach,
less le de Ze'iri. He doesn't subscribe to Ze'iri's observation, and therefore you can have, even after full-fledged tinuf, a tinuf that would cause exemption, you could have a mating take place within 30 days, and hence a birth will take place within the year. So that the birth that takes place within the year, since I do not hold of Ze'iri's ruling, that birth may very well be a birth that followed a real tinuf, and the real tinuf caused exemption. Hence, this birth that takes place within the year is not a bechor. Continuing in the Gemara, v'i boyesema dekulei almo is lehu deziri. A second approach regarding the two versions of Rabbi Yoshua suggests that both versions accept ziri, that which says that there is ein tinuf pochus mishloishim, that within 30 days of a real tinuf there will be no mating. The point of difference between the Gamre and the Svare will be, does a birth of a goat require a full 5 months of pregnancy or not? Or mekutoy means a fraction or a partial 5 months, and not a complete, could be 4 months and 2 weeks, for example. That would be called mekutoyin. The Gemara explains, le gamre, according to the gamre approach, lo amrinon yoledes lemekutoyin. There is no such thing as a birth that is less than 5 full months of pregnancy. Therefore, and we again have to speak out the case, therefore, if you have a birth taking place within a year, this will be a sign that the tinuf that took place was not a real tinuf. The svore, according to the svore approach, the personal approach of Rabbi Yeshua, amrinon, we say yoledes lemekutoyin. Therefore, you can have a situation that at the end of 6 months there was tinuf, and in fact, the entire 7th month it did not mate, and rather it mated at the beginning of the 8th month of the animal's age. The animal's 8 months old, and it had a 5 month pregnancy, but a five partial months. Namely, if you continue with our chart, we can say it was pregnant. It mated at the beginning of the 8th month of its own age. So you have 8, 9, 10, and 11. That's 4 months. And then 12, in the 5th month, it gave birth within a year, because it didn't have to experience its pregnancy till the end of that 5th month, which is 12 months of age. And therefore, if you hold Yoledes Lemekutoyin, that is not necessarily a Bechor, because the Tinuf that took place was a full-fledged Tinuf, and the gestation period is a partial 5 months. Hence, this being a birth following a full-fledged Tinuf is not a Bechor. Continuing, the Iboy Esema, a third point of difference in this list of differences. Lo amrinon yoledes lemekutoyin. That we will not say that a partial 5 months is sufficient. In other words, we require a full 5 months. And we're coming on the heels of everyone holds by Ziri. And we're dealing with a case of it having experienced tinuf at the completion of 6 months of age. The point of difference will be, do we say a part of a day is considered a whole day? In other words, when you get to the, and we're going to have a birth taking place on the very last day of the of the 12th month of this animal's age, which would be, in effect, the very last day of 5 months of pregnancy. So if you have an animal that, as we set up, experienced tinuf at the end of 6 months, and actually, and we hold by Ziri, and it gave birth on the last day of the 12 months of age of this animal, does that help to reveal whether the tinuf was a real tinuf or not? L'svarei, according to Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion, Amrinon, we will say mitzas hayom kekulo. We will say that a part of a day is considered a full day, and therefore you have the necessary full term pregnancy taking place. A full term pregnancy could have in fact taken place following a full fledged tinuf. And therefore, according to Svarei, this will not be a definite Bechor. Legamrei, according to Rabbi Yeshua's own tradition, lo amrinon mixas hayom kekulo. We don't say that a part of a day is considered a full day. And therefore, if you have a birth taking place, if it had been a real tinuf, then the birth would not have taken place on this last day of its 12 months of age. It would have taken place on the first day of the next year, of its second year of life. And therefore, if you see a birth taking place on the last day of those of its 12 months of age, namely the last day of a 5 month pregnancy, it must be that the tinuf was not a real tinuf, and therefore this will be a bechor. This is a full fledged bechor. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, where the Gemara will deal with we've written on the side under our Nosei heading, Nafkamina Bein Rabbi Yeshua V'Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara will delve into what's the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. And just to recall, we saw Rabbi Akiva in the Tanaic source, who said, I don't agree with Rabbi Yeshua's standard, and he said what he did. You can look back on Chof Amal Alef, the end of that large framed section. So here the Gemara is asking, well, practically speaking, what will the difference between these two shitas be? So we now continue reading our note on the side. Behema shecholeves toich shnosa, an animal that within its first year of life is bearing milk. L'Rabbi Akiva cholav poter. From the fact that it's giving forth milk, that's a sign that it has already given birth. And any birth that takes place after its lactation will not be a bechor. Rabbi Yeshua cholav eino poter. According to Rabbi Yeshua, if you see an animal that's giving forth milk, that is not a sure sign that it has already given birth. Why? The choshesh lemiut behemos shechovos lifnei leida. Rabbi Yeshua takes into consideration a minority of animals that will be producing milk even before they gave birth. Now, in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Akiva, ani lo bosi lidei midazu, ela kol shiodua v'chulei. This is a quote from the source on Omen Aleph. My iko bein Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yeshua. What will the point of difference be between Rabbi Akiva's presentation and that which Rabbi Yeshua said? The Rabbeinu Gershom elaborates a little bit on this question, and he says, reading the Rabbeinu Gershom, you can see on the lower part of the page in the inside margin, Ma'iko Bein Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yeshua Ligamrei, according to the Rabbi Yeshua tradition. To the Travayu Havi Sofek Hechadolo Yodia, according to both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, where you are in a state of, let's say, doubt, where you don't know what took place beforehand, according to both of them, it's a Sofek Bechor. So what will the point of difference be? And we continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Hanina Misura, Cholav Poter Iko Binayu. The lactation of an animal as a basis of saying exemption will be the point of difference. Rabbi Kiva Savar Cholav Poter. The fact that you see an animal giving forth milk will be the sign of a subsequent birth being a non-bechor, being exempted. Halochacha rov behemos. Follow the majority of animals. The rov behemos ein chovos ela im kein yodos. The majority of animals don't start lactation until they have already given birth. Therefore, if you see an animal bearing milk, you know that it has already given birth. Hence, a subsequent birth will not be its firstborn. And that's a function of following the majority of animals. Rabbi Yeshua Sovar Ho'iko Mi'uta Dechovos. Rabbi Yeshua will claim that there is a minority of animals that do bear milk, Afal Pi She'en Yodos, even though they haven't given birth. The Gemara now introduces a question. And this is a long question. You can see the kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that is encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this marking constitute the question. The Gemara asks, Umi Chayesh Rabbi Yeshua Lemiut. Does Rabbi Yeshua factor in the minority when forming his opinions? V'hatnan. We have the following Tanaic source, and before learning the source, a little word of background is necessary. The topic dealt with here in the source is Yibum. This is a situation where a man was married and died, leaving no children. And in general, if he has a surviving brother, the brother is expected to marry the widow. In the case featured here, we have a couple that are married, and they go abroad. The married couple, the man of this couple, has no actual brother. However, the fellow's mother is alive. She may, in the future, give birth to a baby that will be this fellow's brother. In the event that that takes place, if it all takes place while everyone is alive, then the wife of this couple that is about to embark on a journey, then she will have a brother-in-law that, in the event her husband dies, will be bound to her in the Yibum relationship. Now, with that word of background, we continue in the Gemara, V'hotanan, Hoysa lo chamosa. A woman who's married happens to have a mother-in-law. And this woman who's married, this couple, they take a trip, they take a journey abroad. And while they are abroad, her husband dies. So the source says, Eino chosheshes. The widow does not have to suspect that maybe her mother-in-law gave birth to a boy that would in effect be her deceased husband's brother. However, Yotza Malea Chosheshes. If when the journey took place, the couple embarked on their journey, the mother-in-law was pregnant, then the widow, in this case, will have to suspect that there may be a surviving brother, and she cannot marry just anyone she likes. She'll have to take care of her Yibum status, which means either going back and waiting till the boy is of age to marry her, or do the Chalitza process, which will also, in effect, which would be able to release her. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino Chosheshes. And Rabbi Yeshua, in this source, says that we don't choshesh, we don't suspect the Amrinon, my time with Rabbi Yeshua. And we ask, well, look, the couple left, leaving the husband's mother alive, a pregnant woman. Why is it that he's not choshesh? Why is he not choshesh that maybe she bore a boy, which would be the fellow's brother. Kosovar, well, Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion, Roiv Meuboros Yodos, the majority of pregnant women give birth to live offspring, umiut mapilos, a minority miscarry. So that if we just use percentages for illustration's sake, 90% of pregnant women bear live children, 10% miscarry. The chol hayoldos, and of the 90% that give birth to live offspring, mechza zechorim umechza nekevos. Half of them are male and half of them are female. So if we had, let's say, 90% of live births, we can say that 50% of 90% would be males. But that it translates into another number. It's 45% of live births are male. And as a result of this analysis, smoch mi'uto de mapilos, you take the 10% of miscarriages and attach it to lemechzo de nekevos, to the half of live births that are female. And if you do that, vahavu luhu zechorim mi'uta, the zechorim will come out to be a minority of actual births. Namely, using our numbers, you would have only 45% of 45% chance that this mother-in-law bore a male, which would restrict the widow that was on the journey, that would restrict her to Yibum. Ulamiuta lo chayshinon, and we don't consider minority possibilities. This is all in explanation of Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. So what do we see? And now you'll notice, of course, we dashed underline ulamiuta lo chayshinon. This is the main point. We see that Rabbi Yoshua does not take into consideration minority situations. Then if that be the case, why is it when it came to the issue of animals lactating, does Rabbi Yoshua say, well, a minority of animals lactate even prior to their giving birth, and hence a subsequent birth would be a bechor? But we see here that Rabbi Yoshua does not take into consideration minority possibilities. Elo epoch. Rather, we have to switch around the shitos as they appeared in the source, or as they appear in our analysis, we'll say. And now we have a source to support this switch around idea. We say switch around, that was regarding Cholov Poter. V'hotanyo, and here is a Tanaic source that supports this epoch idea. Cholov poter divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Here you see, contrary to what we originally presented as Rabbi Yeshua saying that cholov is not poter, Rabbi Yeshua says that cholov is poter because you follow the majority and you don't take into consideration the miut of animals that lactate before birth. Rabbi Kiva omer cholov eino poter. And according to this approach, Rabbi Kiva also is switched around, holding that cholov, the fact you see an animal bearing milk, giving forth milk, it doesn't exempt a subsequent birth from being a bechor, because there are a minority of animals that lactate prior to their first, to their giving birth, or to their first birth. At this point, we start a new discussion. But as the Gemara unfolds, you will see how this seeming new discussion ties in to our previous sugya, in which one of the main features featured the tinuf phenomenon. Tanu Rabbanan. This source describes an animal that gives birth to offspring, and we could say successive generations, if you will, all taking place within 1 year. We're going to be dealing with a goat, and the result of this scenario will be that you can have several generations of animals experiencing Meiser Behemoth together. Just a word about Meiser Behemoth. The Gemara in Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah says that the Rosh Hashanah for Behemos is the month of Elul. That means that all births that take place from between Elul and next year's and the subsequent Elul, that's considered the year of births with regard to Meiser Behema. So if an animal, if an owner of animals has in his herd or his flock 10 births during that year, during that time period between Elul and next year's Elul, those animals are tithed, and one of them, after they're counted by passing through a narrow passageway and being numbered 1, 2, 3, when you get to number 10, it is declared the Meiser Behema. And Meiser Behema is brought as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash by the owner of those animals. Now we turn to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, Gedia Shiolda Shalosh Bonos, a goat that gave birth to three offspring, three females. V'chol Benoseha Yoldu Shalosh Shalosh, and each one of those gave birth to three animals, three offspring of its own. We have a little chart on the side of the Gemara to illustrate this, where you see an animal labeled as Ain, and then three daughters that are born, 1, 2, and 3, and then we continue using our numbers under each animal of subsequent births, and we use numbers to indicate 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10, and since that third daughter bore three animals, so mentioned 10, 11, and 12. The source says that if you have a setup like this, kulon nichnosois ladir lisaser, they could all enter the deer, the stable or the where animals live, and then go through the narrow passageway to be counted for the purposes of establishing Meiser Behema. Omar Rabbi Shimon, ani roisi gedia sheisra besoch shnasa. He says, I saw a goat experience Meiser Behema within its first year. Now, as far as what Rabbi Yeshua is trying to tell us, this will be, or better stated, what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama? This will be the subject of a discussion on the upper part of the Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. In the meantime, the Gemara has a couple of questions dealing with the source itself and the illustration in the source itself. After stating that a goat gave birth to three daughters, and our goal is to get to a Meiser Behema situation, Loma Li Lemisni, the triangles represent simple questions on the illustrations in this source. So Loma Li Lemisni Shalosh Shalosh. Why is it necessary for each one of the daughters to give birth to three offspring, each one of its own respectively? If our goal is to get to 10 births within 1 year, after the original mother gave birth to three, I really need 7 more animals to be born that year. Toilid chad minayutlas, let one of them give birth to three, the Enoch, the other two daughters, tarti tarti, two apiece. So that if that be the case, you have the original three daughters, then one of them giving birth to three, that would get us up to 6. I just need 4 more animals, so 2 apiece for the other two daughters. Wouldn't that be enough? The Gemara answers, Aidi de'ika chada de lo sagya below shalosh, since in our illustration we needed to have one of the daughters give birth to three offspring, tana kulu di'aldu shalosh shalosh. Out of, let's say, for streamlining the example, the Tana simply said that each one of them gave birth to three, when in fact we now know that that was not absolutely necessary to achieve a Meiser Behema scenario. Nevertheless, we still have a question. V'lomali lemisni shalosh klal. Why bother with the number 3 for regarding any of the daughters that were born? Leildu kulu tarti. Why not, if you're interested in streamlining things, you could have the following, where each one of the daughters, and this too, we have a little chart to illustrate this, where each one of the daughters gives birth to 2 apiece. So with the daughters in mind, that's 3. They're 3 daughters of the first generation after the mother. I need, after that, I need a total of 7 more births. So have each one of the daughters give birth to two. That will account for another six. And I'm missing only one. All right. V'tahader ihi v'tolid behadehen. Let the original mother that gave birth to those three daughters give birth to a subsequent offspring, and we would call that number 10. Now, that is not featured in the source. So, lema, can we say that kosovar mitanefes, if an animal experiences tinuf, eino choizeres violetes besoch shnosa? And being that that's the case, this mother that gave birth to three daughters, the mother would have been, let us say, it would have given birth after it was itself 1 month of age. So then it gave birth to the three daughters in a single delivery, we'll say. And then after at that point, we would say that would constitute tinuf. And after that, we say a month would go by because of what we had learned earlier concerning tinuf through ze'iri. And as a result, once an animal experiences tinuf, it won't be able to give birth to another child within that year. And since it can't be within the year, I won't get up to a number 10 within the same year of births, of the previous ones. So the Gemara says that we're not going to reach this conclusion. Im tinsilomar mitanefes choseres violetes besoch shnosa. I can tell you that as far as tinuf is concerned, that was the emission that we had spoken about today earlier, I could tell you that tinuf itself would not prevent or exclude the possibility of a subsequent birth during the same year. However, yoledes vadai eino choseres violetes besoch shnosa, where an actual birth takes place, which is what we were just describing, the case of the mother with its first three offspring. In that case, since we're talking about the birth of those three first female offspring, the mother will not be capable of mating, of conceiving and bearing another child within that year. An actual birth is considered, let's say, a more severe bodily experience than tinuf, thereby preventing it from being able to conceive and bear another child all within that same year. And that's why the source did not give the example of each one of the daughters bearing only two and relying on the mother to bear the 10th child. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.